This is a Stand Up New York Labs production, providing you podcasts since 2013.
Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
Yeah, what up? This is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
This is In the Conversation,
the podcast.
What's good, man?
Oh, man, it's all good.
Yeah.
Shining, you know
same
what I mean?
Old shit back here, back again.
Yeah, for sure, for
got
sure.
Got the people tuned in.
For sure.
Came another week. We got another guest at the table.
No doubt.
Most definitely.
Cuzzo DeVille. Cuzzo DeVille,
true player for real.
True player for real.
That's what's up.
Jacksonville zone. Ali, introduce the people.
Well, Cuzzo DeVille is a good friend of mine from way, way back. You know what I'm saying? I met him. He was a real young hustler. You know, he was one of the most enterprising young cats I had ever met at that time. Mm. You know what I'm saying? He was probably like 19, had a restaurant. Had a, you know what I'm saying? Just,
that's crazy.
Just opened up, he just rented a building with about 15 rooms in it, like a hostel.
Wow.
And turned it into like a lounge club for college people. You know, he's just a all around enterprising ass cat that was always doing more than, you know what I'm saying, more than his capabilities, but
above and beyond.
Living to it, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Like playing above the rim, you know what I'm saying, but on the ground.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
That's what it is.
I'll take that. I'll take that.
You'll take that?
Yeah, that's
well, shit, let's talk about that. How did you have a fucking restaurant at? Because when I first met you, you was cooking too. You were manning a whole situation.
Right.
How did you start a restaurant? How did you man a restaurant, run a restaurant at 19 years old? How'd that come about?
Well, to be honest with you, and thank y'all for having me, too. I appreciate that.
No doubt,
that,
no
man.
Doubt. Shout out to Cuzzo.
I need a look here and there, you know what I mean?
And he from Jacksonville, Duval.
Yeah, on the rise, you know what I mean? But nah, seriously, my family, my grandma and my father had a restaurant, you know what I mean, in Jacksonville.
Okay.
Pretty simple stuff, you know, just frying shrimp, frying fish and wings and stuff
right.
And my grandma, of course, have her signature recipes, schooled me, and my dad.
She gave you the recipe. Was it a problem, or
Well, the problem was actually with my dad, because he was still trying to come up.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Like, hold on.
He was like, yo, you got a building already?
Y'all was dueling?
It was a slight duel.
Ooh.
It was a slight duel.
Hey, mama, you skipping generations.
Yeah.
He had the same sauce as you, though. He had the recipe,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And so, but the problem was he did so much. You know what I mean? He never did kind of like what I got going on right now. I do so much to where I never really focus on something. So I said, all right, I'm not going to do the whole menu and everything we know how to cook. I'll slim it down, trim it down to just a couple of choice items.
Right.
And so I knew how to do those items to perfection. So I went up to, you know, it was a lack. It wasn't going on in Tallahassee, what was going on in Jacksonville. So, you know, I started out on the corner selling just regular regular grilled food. Like, it was crazy. I just used to buy a case of chicken.
FAMU.
FAMU.
Okay.
And just sell like dollar chicken sandwiches.
Okay.
Because it was big ass dollar chicken sandwich, and everybody slide in, like, because you think about it, right,
college.
Even now to this day, you know what I'm saying? $5, I get five whole pieces of chicken right off the grill.
Right.
Like, I had niggas coming in, like, you just got off, like, yo, give me 10, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, 10 hot, fresh pieces of chicken off the grill. So, again, well, my signature was, like, what they call, like, garlic crabs. It's real big in the South now. And so that was, nobody was doing it at the time.
And see, lemon is a crab connoisseur.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Talk to me, man. Yeah, man.
Nobody was doing it, and now it's a phenomenon. I mean, you got Chinese people cooking and Arabs cooking garlic crabs now, but at the time, nobody was doing it, and my grandmother had a great recipe for that. So I just was like, yo, it don't take that much. You know, what's the first and last on the rent, the light bill, you know, you buy your stock. I had a couple, you know, cats who was rolling with me, you know what I'm saying, to do this and do that. So it was pretty simple, just real cut and dry hustling, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Just doubling up, re-up, and you know what I'm saying, service, stay close to the streets to find out what's happening, and keeping it fresh and hot, staying open. I just did it. It was great, actually. I still haven't matched my income from those days, you know. I still have, I was like crazy money, like $1,100, $1,200
a weekend. Fucking garlic crabs.
Yeah. So, you know, it was just one of those things that I was blessed to do. And I, they still wanted to, I'm going to bring it back out sooner or later in some form or fashion. So it was cool.
As a crab connoisseur.
Right.
Have you ever had garlic crabs?
I think so. Are these... These are blue crabs or crab legs?
Now, you can do... Originally, we did the blue crab. But right. The seasoning, man, they do garlic crab, shrimp,
right,
neck bones,
okay,
oxtail. They
is the spectrum.
They just, it's the sauce, really.
Right.
But it really originated with people putting it on seafood.
I've seen
this is blue
it.
Crab, but we do... And now, like I said, it's definitely...
It's in the world now.
Yeah, it's definitely out there.
I'm curious how you do it, because I've had some shit like at the boil or whatever like that. Mm-hmm. And then I've seen, shout out to Layla Glam, she be doing like a lemon pepper or a garlic something on her on her Instagram often. Mm-hmm. Right. That's the only time I've ever seen it in the blue crab situation. Right. So I don't want you to drop the whole full on grandma scroll, but... Give me a couple bullet points on, or matter. I mean, if you want to share it with the people.
Nah, well, it's a real simple concept. You gotta have, you know, you got your regular seasoned salt,
right?
You know what I mean, mm-hmm. and you got your garlic,
right?
Powder,
right.
You know what I mean, and then
butter.
You got butter, garlic powder, seasoned salt, a little what's another? I'll give you some Old Bay.
Okay.
Throw some Old Bay up in there.
Uh-huh.
And that's pretty much it.
Okay.
And it's all in the wrist, though. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Yeah. Right. And so I start out with just, you know, I don't like cook it in that.
Uh-huh.
I kind of just cook the crabs in a seasoned water with the Old Bay, the seasoned salt.
Right.
And the garlic seasoning in the water.
Mm-hmm.
And then I take that out. And then that's when I go with the butter
mm-hmm.
and extra little trimmings.
Uh-huh.
See, coming up, we had garlic crabs from Captain Crabs in Miami introduced the garlic crab to Miami. And it was like, theirs have, you know, like full-on garlic pieces and shit like that.
That's how Trick Daddy do his.
Yeah, so you probably got from Captain Crabs, too.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's what introduced it to us. When that shit came to Miami, it was like, oh, shit. Garlic, go get a bucket of garlic crabs. They still got that shit.
Yeah.
That shit was like a special treat at the crib. And then they already have them halfway opened up for you.
Yeah, that's a good clean,
that was the big part about it. It was cleaning them. You know what I'm saying? That was, you know, I mean, I used to just get cats off the street almost. You know what I mean? I needed, like, you need some work? Or you got to clean these crabs.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so, you know, that was the hardest part about it, just cleaning them. And so that's what kind of like led to me not really vibing with it, because it was just hard to find people to hold down that job.
Right.
So, you know, it was easier just to, you know, drop 15 shrimp and some grease and make the same amount of money.
Right.
So, I mean, of course, the garlic crab was my specialty, but when it came down to dollars and cents, it was just made more sense just to do stuff that was easier, quicker, to, you know, you can, you know, like trying to keep crabs fresh.
Right.
Like, you have to keep them alive until you cook them.
Right.
And then after you cook them, you have to sell them because they're no good after that. So it was much easier to just get into, you know, just shrimp and wings and shit like that. So, but it, you know, like I said, I will bring it back. Now the king crabs the king crabs,
king crabs,
there's
or
another
the,
name for
there's snow crabs.
Snow crabs,
right.
Now that's a money maker,
right?
Because
they dead already.
They dead already, and people charge. That's like the markup on them is like triple.
Yeah.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like you can get like, it's like $20 for one little cluster.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, people pay, they already accustomed to paying big money for them. Yeah, so
it ain't as much work.
It ain't as much work to get the meat.
Yeah. Get to that meat, blah, blah, and it's right there.
So that's where we're going to be, you know, reintroduced. Actually, I'm going to do it all again, man, because it's fun. I like it. You know what I mean? It's a tradition. There's definitely a demand for it. And so if I could just manage the business part of it, I'm looking to get back into it after we make this money on this entertainment joint. I can't go too far away from that.
But like when I met him, he was a DJ on the radio station,
right.
And I had left FAMU for a couple years to start a record label.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got back, you know, I found it hard to get niggas to play my record.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a situation where a position opened up for overnight, like a 12 to 3 in the morning radio slot,
mm-hmm.
and I took it. so I could play, you know what I'm saying? I could play what I wanted.
Your
you
shit.
Know, I could play my shit. I could That's play, smart. You know what I'm saying? So I took the shift and, you know, started doing my thing. And then I started to understand the politics and who's who at the station. Mm-hmm. So Cuzzo, he had a show that was on, what day was your show? Thursday?
Tuesday and Thursday.
Tuesday.
What was the name of your show?
Extreme Venom.
There you go.
Like, you know, the Rattlers.
Rattlers, like Extreme.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay.
So he had a show, but he would be on there just doing wild shit, like doing his own thing. He ain't following none of the rules.
Yeah.
So he'll be playing shit off of tape. He'll just, whatever, wherever he find the music, he just play it.
Okay.
And then it got to the point, like what I understood, like the PD, the program director, they wouldn't give him no records. Cause he's, I don't know why, I don't know what was going on.
Cause you would do your own thing.
I don't know what.
It forced me to do my own thing.
Oh, so because you weren't getting records, you was like, fuck it, I'm going to just bring my own
had,
shit.
Whoever had a high track, like I'm like, yo, it's on tape, I can play it, yo, you give it to me.
Got it.
Like, which was way before, well, I ain't going to say way before, but that was, you know, it's commonplace now, you know what I mean? But at the time, I had to really, really find music.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So the PD and them, they, you know, the good music was in the closet on the vinyls and shit like that. And they issued it out. You know what I'm saying? But they wouldn't give him no records.
Damn.
So, but he still had it cracking.
Uh-huh.
So I'm just watching all this shit. I don't know. You know what I mean? I'm just.
They were giving you records?
Yeah, I knew how to politic. You know what I'm saying? I go politic, get my records. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? And then I'm
still working on politics.
Yeah, I'm about to say,
I have no politic game. My politics game, I'm so real. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, I was a threat. Honestly, how I got kicked off the radio is a travesty. Like, they blackballed me.
When you get kicked off the radio?
Calvin
shit
Miles.
Spicy.
Oh, after I left?
Yeah, after you left. Calvin Miles, he sent fake faxes to BMG.
Okay.
And got me ousted.
Well, anyway, so I'm watching all of this play out, you know what I mean? I'm like, okay, he got a live show, but he wildcatting doing his own shit.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I got my show, I'm doing my thing, whatever.
Right.
But after about 4 or 5 months, the general manager of the station got fired.
Mm-hmm.
And then I asked Dr. Hawkins, who, rest in peace, who controlled the station, could I get that job?
Right.
And he was like, well, you know, to get that job, you had to have a PhD, but I can make you the interim GM until we find somebody.
Oh, wow.
Mm. I'm like, all right, bet. Uh-huh. And then, you know, most of the station was jazz until the night. But then, the big thing was always why are we a jazz station at a black college? Why don't we play the music that represents the students?
Right.
So I asked Dr. Hawkins, could I change the format?
Right.
And he's like, yeah, I don't care.
Go ahead. It was that simple.
Yeah, it was like, go ahead.
All you had to do was ask.
Like all these years, it was like, damn.
Yeah.
So I came in one day and nobody knew I was the GM. I walked in and went into the GM office. Everybody like, what the fuck you doing? It's like, I'm the new GM. They were like, nah. I was like, shit, go ask Dr. Hawkins.
And I changed the format up.
Nah, we ain't changed it yet. So we started putting shit to play. Uh-huh. And then maybe like 2 months in, we started the transition to change the format.
Uh-huh.
And in that process, I was asking around, understanding what people felt about the station in the community.
Right.
And then I talked to this one lady. It was like she was like an older lady. Like back then, she probably was like 39. But you know what I'm saying?
Damn.
But you know, back then,
she was one of the elders.
Yeah, back then she was old. You know what I'm saying? It's like I'm like 25.
Right.
So I was like, you know what I'm saying? She was cute too. And she was like, yeah. I was like, yeah, I work at the station. She was like, oh, you work at the station?
Uh-huh.
You know Spud Eastwood? That's what he used to go by, Spud Eastwood.
Uh-huh.
You know Spud Eastwood?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, yeah, I know Spud Eastwood. I love him. I'm like, what? I just love how he just for the people. And then I was talking to somebody else. And they were like, everybody I talked to was like, yo, I love that show.
Right.
So I'm like, damn. So when I changed the format, I made his show every day.
Right.
And then gave him access to all the shit because he was like the Tupac of the radio station.
Right.
You know what I'm
saying? Preach.
Because, you know what I'm saying? He'll be on some shit like, you know, he'd be just like, you know what I'm saying? This goes out to all my baby mamas out there.
Right.
If nobody ain't representing for you, you know, Spud Eastwood representing for you. You know what I'm saying?
Seen.
I know you're holding it down. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I know your baby daddy tripping and you're holding it down.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But I'm holding it down right with you. Just call me, let me know what you want to hear type shit.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So the hood,
mm-hmm.
the community resonate. Had a lot of love. And then, you know what I'm saying, the chicks really loved that shit.
Uh-huh.
And that shit just worked. And, you know, that's who we was. And it was like, you know, it was almost like a shame that they didn't let them get it off before.
Right.
So that's my Spuddy's Wood, Cuzzo DeVille story.
And then you got it off for a minute, and then it was a fucking travesty.
Yeah. Well
we don't talk about the travesty.
No, not the travesty, but that I want to know what was the next stage, because I know there's a few things. I know at one point we worked together.
Right.
And you was doing your Cuzzo DeVille thing. Absolutely.
Rapping.
Let's talk about how that transition happened.
All right, so from radio, like I said, I was kind of forced out of radio, man, because I was a college marketing rep for BMG, which was Arista Bad Boy. I used to get all the music. And like you said, everybody loved my show. I was really like a big deal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? This is like, I don't want to date myself, but this is before email and all this shit. You know what I mean?
Like, they had email.
Niggas had the facts in it.
You know what I'm saying? I don't remember
emailing the home.
It was crazy. It was like real. I was a phenomenon, man. Okay. I really, really caused problems for people who didn't have their shit together.
Uh-huh.
And so they kind of like I really had this PD, like the whoever came in, the GM. Mm-hmm. He was sending faxes like, yo, this guy's a threat. He's a because I you know I had my grill in.
Right.
This is like before grills was popular. Right. Like they never seen nothing like
that. Yeah.
So I was a threat. I was real thuggish, you know what I'm saying? Like, I was, you know.
What was the rest of the faculty like? How old were they? What was the deal? Like, were you the youngest motherfucker?
You weren't the youngest. Everybody was students, and then you had the people who ran it who were, like, you know, grown.
Right.
But you got to understand, after we ran this roguish-ass program for about a year and a half, you know, we ran it like a regular commercial hip-hop station.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Once they brought in a new GM, he tried to rein it back in, what I'm saying? Because it's like if you used to being at a college station and it's just running as a college station, it's slow motion.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You got your kids sign up on the sheet, and then, you know, they play the records, and you keep it moving. But the way we had it going was that it was resonating so much in the city.
It was competitive.
It was competitive with the commercial stations.
Right.
To the point where when we changed the format, there were no hip-hop stations in Tallahassee, Florida.
Wow.
After we changed the format, it was 5 hip-hop stations in a little bitty-ass town like Tallahassee.
Mm-hmm. How soon did that happen? Like, how long did it take?
About a year.
Wow.
After about a year, they started just popping up. Everybody started changing their formats to fit that because it was moving.
Right.
You know what I mean? So when the new regime came in, they didn't want to deal with all that. They just wanted, you know, do their job, you know what I mean? Make it simple, you know what I'm saying? Keep the instructional part, you know what I mean? Clean.
Mm-hmm.
And that was that. So they didn't really want all that shit, you know what I mean?
Right.
I think they changed the format back to what it was before.
Back to jazz?
Nah, I mean, I think a little looser than it was before, but they definitely reined it in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I guess they still kept the name. You know, because we had changed the name.
Yeah, changed the name to the Flavor.
Yeah, we changed the 90.5 to Flavor.
Okay.
So they kept it. It's still the Flavor right now.
Oh,
but
all right.
You know
that's
what I'm
what's
saying?
Up.
Yeah,
that's
it's still up. The Flavor.
And y'all, you started the Flavor. So anybody at FAMU.
Actually, under my regime, DJ Dap came up with that name. Okay. We had a meeting, and then everybody was throwing out names of what we could call it, and DJ Dap was like, "Yo, we should be the Flavor."
Mm-hmm.
Flavor Station. I was like, yo, that's cool. And then that's what it became, 90.5, The Flavor.
So, again, what happened was the new regime ousted me, and I was lost. Truth be told, this is real shit. I still haven't found myself. You know what I'm saying? Because it was my outlet.
Mm-hmm.
It was my platform.
Right.
It was my outlet. I got the instant feedback.
Right.
If I said something was funny, they call in, let me know it was funny. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can really prepare and say, hey, I'm going to kill them with this. And then I can get that instant feedback. You know what I'm saying? So when they took that away from me, I was like really, really lost. And Tupac died. And then I was like, oh, man, I was lost. So Muhammad here made the transition from radio and music to TV.
Okay.
So he was also, if y'all, I don't know if y'all talked about, I'm sure y'all have, but he also pioneered the first TV show. in Tallahassee.
Pioneer ass.
Yeah. And so my natural progression was TV.
Yeah.
And so he did his little 1-2 step and got me into that. And so we started interviewing people. Like my first ever interview was with Outkast. Like my first on camera interview was Outkast.
What album was that?
That was
Before ATL.
Yeah, it was before ATL.
So it was in between Southern Playalistic and ATL.
It was matter of fact, ATL was out because I remember I was actually playing ATL on the flavor. So it had to be after that.
Okay.
ATL was out.
So it must have been ATL album.
ATL album. Okay. And my second interview on TV with Muhammad was fucking P. Diddy and Jermaine Dupri. That was my first. You know what I'm saying?
These came in the game.
Yeah, I came in the game with those types of interviews.
Right.
So that started getting me a little bit more structure, and I started liking that. But again, how we got to the Cuz of the Villain, me rapping, because people like Andre from 3000, I mean Andre from Big from Outkast, was like, yo, what kind of shoes is them? Mm-hmm. Like, he fucking filling my shoes, and like, yo, this, you know, he was really paying me way more attention than I was paying him.
Yeah.
So I'm like, damn, you know, these rap niggas like me.
Right.
So I'm like, damn. So I was, you know, a bit of a star to stars.
Right.
And so for long, I'm like, yo. But I seen how quick people, like, music is everywhere. Like, you can go in a grocery store and hear a song. You can rob by in a car, you hear a song. So I'm like, shit, I need to do this music shit. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm already a star. I got stuff to talk about. I got personality. I need to do music.
Right.
And so by this time, 50 Cent coming out, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yo, I need to try it. So by the time I met up with you, I was already, you know what I mean? Like, I was like, this is what I want to do. I know I got the skill set. I know I got the look. I got the background. I'm gonna do music. But the trouble came with the engineers. I never could find people who could mix and master my shit in a timely fashion. And it just got not boring, but it just got too much. They took the fun out of it.
It was too much work. And see, the thing about it is, when you're trying to do rap, and any rap nigga out there know, you know what I'm saying? Anybody that's out there aspiring to do rap should know that music ain't just the music. You know what I'm saying? This shit has an organization to it. You know what I mean? And if you're not able to be still and create the infrastructure for your business that is music, it's gonna be difficult. Mm. You know what I'm saying? I think with Cuzzo, I think your whole thing was that you were so much in regular life that it's hard to sit down in a chair and say, all right, let me put this thing together in an organized fashion, because by the time you sit down, your phone rang, you know what I'm saying, you want to be in the club here, you want to be there, you're going to be everywhere. By the time you get there, might not see you for 2-3 days.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because your one day turned to 3 days. So it's hard to make it happen when you don't have the infrastructure.
Or guidance, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, I was, like, my like for right now, I'm still loyal to Muhammad. Like, I was, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't even let nobody. I got people I have conversations with. I was having conversations with people about, yeah, you know, I'm trying to do this, I'm trying to do that, but man, I'm still trying to kind of not be committed to nobody, because I want to leave myself available for, you know, who I'm loyal to and all kinds of stuff. Like, I just didn't make the proper moves it takes to, and aggression. I'm not really aggressive, because I got, if this don't work, I could do something else. And so, even the biggest rap stars, I'm like, I could do that, you know what I mean? So it was just like, I wasn't really intrigued enough by the position, you know what I'm saying? I wanted to be a star, but I was a star in real life. Everywhere I went, everybody I talked to, fuck with me.
Shit started to feel like work.
That's where the shit stops, because you was popping in real life. Like, he put me with T-Pain before T-Pain was T-Pain.
Wow. Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. When we had T-Pain on them shows, T-Pain was at the house.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And you know, his first beats was with Justice League.
Right.
Wow. You know what I'm saying? His first songs that he made had Justice League beats.
Exactly.
That's hard.
You know what I'm saying? But without the organization and the patience, you know, it gets difficult.
Mm. So that's there. You have it. And like I said, I'm still piecing this shit together today.
Right. I hear you. So what you feeling like now? What you leaning towards?
Right now, I can out rap any motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? Like if you play a beat on, I'm gonna make. You know what I'm saying? I can rap. Like you know, with the best
shit. Okay.
You know what I'm saying? But again, I've turned into more of a personality, uh-huh. You know what I mean? Because you have to be kind of like multifaceted.
Right.
But that's worked against me. Everybody tell me, shit, you do so, you know, I could do a lot of shit good.
Right.
It's like everybody, once I have a conversation, I'm like, okay, what you want to do, man?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? What we doing here?
Right.
And so with music, I can just answer. You give me a beat, I'm going to make you a hit.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? And so all the other ends and betweens, I need people who are good at whatever else it takes to make it happen. I need people.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But other than that, the talent part and the hustle and the drive, I got that. It's just I don't have time to be going back and forth with you know what I'm saying? with the industry, you know what I'm saying? When right. I'm really a star in real life, my regular job, I'm a teacher now. You know right. what I'm saying? So right. the kids love my the neighborhood love me. You know right. what I'm saying? I got little you know, your jingles and shit like that.
Right.
I got all kinds of shit that can prove to you that I'm, you know, talented yeah. and well felt. It's just the industry part, I'm going to need some type of help, and that's the reason why I'm really up here in New York now, because I, you know, I frequent up here just to see, test the water, see what's happening, have conversations, and, you know what I'm saying, just display my shit, you know, step by step. But to answer your question, I could most definitely rap. I did a couple movies. I did Stomp the Yard 2, a couple little cameos here and there on the acting tip.
Mm-hmm.
I got friends in the industry. Lil Duval is one of my main mm-hmm. man, so I might go out on the road with him and background him for a few minutes, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I also got, you know, a lot of experience in media and journalism, so I, you know, host different shows, put on different events, and you know, capture other people's shit. So basically, my whole platform is I like to interview niggas mm-hmm. and make something out of nothing
right.
and add to the whole party.
So, yeah, so Lil Duval, you introduced us to him
yeah.
in the
05, 03, something early. Yeah. The yeah. O's.
The O's. And how did y'all come together? How did you and Lil Duval come together?
Well, we grew up together. We from the same block. You know, he's from Myrtle Avenue. I'm from Moncrief. And they cross like this. And so, yeah, probably like 9th, 10th grade, we would just always run across each other. Then we started getting cars and start going around each other's house, spending the night around each other's house, and just really just being cool, like real home. Like we was really like buddy, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? Just that, you know, I'm pretty sure you got an old high school yeah. homie, you know what I'm saying? We ain't dress alike and shit like that, but you know what I mean?
That was where we said, fuck it, that's yeah, too yeah. far.
I don't yeah. think nobody suggested that.
Yeah, 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 but nah, but we was
just
like,
just in case.
It was just like, you know, I mean, we seen like, you know, like, I guess like, it was just like, we knew we was popular, we knew we was entertainers, and we mm-hmm. knew we was regular. I mean, we was not regular dudes. So we kind of took to each other. When we go to the club, everybody like, okay, there go them niggas. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And then what happened was I was a year ahead of him. I went to college to FAMU and became a radio sensation. And, you know, I mean, he was still at the crib. And what happened was he was like, dang, man, I want to figure out what I'm going to do. And he didn't necessarily, the school thing wasn't his thing. So when he graduated, he was like, I know I want to be a star. I'm going straight to Atlanta. So he went to Atlanta, and I was in Tallahassee. Now, keep in mind, when I was in Tallahassee, I was a big deal. I was on the Ricky Lake show, so he always really looked at me like, I want to be doing this, what this yeah. nigga doing, but you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? But he really, by him being in Atlanta, he knew the business of it.
Right.
I mean, he found, you know, he got up under other comedians, right. and, you know, he just played the scene or whatever he had to do. But we still always remained tight, and I was his biggest fan when he started his very first show. I was mm-hmm. there, like, you know, I never wanted to be a comedian. I knew I was funny. I mm-hmm. had a personality, but the art of being a comedian,
right.
you know, the business of being a comedian, and the, you know, the format of, you know, rolling out jokes and all that,
mm-hmm.
you know, I just didn't have that, you know. Mm-hmm. But when we together, we was just like, a lot of his material was based off just our relationship mm-hmm. early on. So, you know, again, we was just childhood friends that just grew up, you know, as we became men, you know, we just still kicked it and made sure we was, you know, holding it down for one another. So that's basically how it is to this day, you know what I mean?
Right.
Now, of course, he's, you know, phenomenon and a major star, but I can call, he answer, you know what I mean? If I go to Atlanta, I can post up at the crib,
right.
I can drive the whip. I ain't flew on the jet yet, but you know what I'm saying? You know, but I'm just saying, we was, the base of our relationship is you know, his mom even called
He got a jet now?
He got a jet. He has a jet.
That's crazy.
Damn. Yeah, he has a jet. But his mom calls me her son, you know, his sister. I used to fiend for your sister, but never win a penner type thing. You know what I'm saying? Like,
that's a bar that you said? That's a bar?
That's from Tupac.
Oh, nigga. All right. Yeah. I
ain't mad at you. It's from
Miami. Okay,
right, you know what I'm saying? But my point is, we
y'all go back.
We go back.
That's, you know, family.
What I mean? And I always supported him. And, you know, we just, it's just the thing about it. That's part of the reason why I never did comedy. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, you probably know that.
I didn't want to impose.
I let him have that. You know what I'm saying? Because I just knew I was going to be the next rapper. Like, all this sing-songy shit.
Right.
That's me.
Right.
Way before sing-songy shit.
For real.
Way before sing-songy shit was what it is.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, and me and T-Pain, I was around for a lot of T-Pain's first music. Like, I'm sprung. Like, you know what I mean? That was my era. I was doing that shit way before. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I said, all right, well, I know this rap shit gonna work for me sooner or later. I had moved to New York. And I'm like, oh, I know it's about to pop. And so, I never really worried about what he had going on as far as, you know, comedy. I'm like, oh, I got my lane, you got your lane, we gonna see each other at the top, you know what I mean? That's what's happening. And again, I got caught up with regular life, you know, took a little bit of a hiatus, just I had a son, you know what I'm saying? So regular life hit me, and while I just honed my skills as a personality, I became more of a personality rather than a rapper or a comedian, just somebody with talent who can get down on any scene. But my boy is, he supports me. I would like a lot more support, but I'm good where I'm at. And the song that he got that's popping, man, it really, the hook alone, it just really, you know, it really just, you know, embraces how we think. You know what I mean? We ain't worried about no other nigga.
And that's, you know what I'm saying? That was the funny thing about the first time I met him. I mean, I met him before he hosted the Yard Fest, but he was always on his own shit, regardless of what was happening. It didn't matter what your format was; he was going to do his format. And I remember us being in L.A. and Will Packer and Rob was doing a screening of one of the movies, and he was there. And I was like, "Yo, I know, you comedian, but I'm just, if you want to get into acting, you know what I'm saying, you probably should meet these cats. You know what I'm saying?"
Right.
He was like, man, I don't do that. You know what I'm saying? He wasn't concerned.
Right.
He wasn't concerned with nothing but what he was doing at the moment. Fuck all that future, what if, maybe, nothing politic. He wasn't about all that politic shit. It was just, I do what I do, and that's that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? If niggas want to see me about what I do, then cool. Other than that, I don't need to meet no niggas.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Which I thought was strange because, you know, I'm used to connecting politic ditto, you know what I'm saying?
Networking.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Not even networking, just, you know, positioning and making moves.
Right.
But he had it right. You know what I'm saying? You make everybody come to your shit, and then it's more valuable.
And then they'll be there.
Right.
And then it'll always be there. You always own your shit. He had it right. He had it right the whole time.
Yeah.
And that was the beginning. That was, you know what I mean? That was years ago.
Yeah. Mm. And my stupid ass, I'm still stuck in that. See, the thing is, like I said, you get a break, you gotta run with it. When you get the opportunity, you most certainly do. Yeah. See, I have that same problem. I'm like, yo, fuck all that shit they doing. When my shit pop, it's gonna pop how I wanted to pop.
Right.
But unfortunately, you know, just not all the same chips, not the same cards. So I'm still where
still
I'm
out here. You still out here, man.
Yeah, shit, you woke up this morning, didn't you?
Yeah.
What did it say? If you're breathing,
you achieve it.
You achieve.
Yeah. So you know what I'm saying?
Niggas quote that shit like the Bible.
Today is the day.
Yeah, and it's cool. Like I said, that's what I'm saying. It basically sums it up. You know what I mean? And it's a great lifestyle to have.
Right.
You know what I mean?
You know, speaking of achieving.
Well, go ahead, brother. What you thinking?
I got it. What y'all think about Meek Mill?
I told niggas it was gonna happen. I swear.
I told these motherfuckers.
I'm serious because when he first got hit with the diss track, and I said, I know how the industry is. You know what I'm saying? I seen niggas beef and make up.
Right.
I knew with Ross and I knew the business of it. I'm like, they got too much money to make to let just Meek Mill just fall off.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I knew he wasn't going to fall off.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew it was going to happen.
What you thinking?
I mean, I never counted him out. I never counted him out. I was just disappointed in that battle.
Right.
If you remember, I've been saying I fuck with Meek Mill since he started.
Right.
He remind me, I always like the energy. You know what I mean? I said, that nigga make cardio rap. You know what I mean? Like, that shit is treadmill music. He got that energy. You know what I mean?
Did you listen to the album?
Oh, I listened to the album. The album is fire. The album is fire, but Meek Mill's never put out a whack album, in my opinion.
Right.
I think this might be his best album.
Right.
You know what I mean? But, yeah, it's good to see him. You know, it's good to see the evolution.
Because
mm-hmm. that's the thing. Like, he's definitely somebody that is known for, here we go again, known for a certain sensibility. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Meek Mill was one of the cats. Niggas was like, this is one of the last remaining street rappers.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And when you do that shit, you could get caught up in doing the dumb shit over and over, trying to please your core because you want to be a real nigga.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And
but I guess that jail didn't feel too good.
That shit is one of the best interventions from what I understand.
But,
you know what I mean?
I ain't even heard the whole album.
It took me 2 days to get through because it's a good 19 songs, which is, that's a long-ass album nowadays.
I haven't even sat down to try yet.
Oh.
But what I did see... What I did see, and again, I was never a Meek Mill fan, but I was never against Meek Mill. I was never, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I knew he had the anthem, the national Negro anthem.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. But for me, his energy, that energy that you're talking about, he never brought it down. He never changed it. It was just always, niggas get tired of the cardio sometimes, for me.
Yeah, I can dig it.
So I wasn't against him. I fucked with... When I wanted to fuck with some cardio rap, then I fuck with it. But I saw the nigga Funk Flex freestyle.
This recent one?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see it.
And he more grown with it.
Uh-huh.
And he like real relaxed. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And he spitting his bars and shit. And he like, he just chilling like.
Right.
And I like that shit. I like that shit. You know what I'm saying? Because he brought it down a whole lot. But the bars was on point.
Okay.
He was real relaxed with it. You could tell he was, you know, real confident with it. And that shit right there sold me. I don't have to listen to the album. You know what I'm saying? That right there let me know his growth and where he at with it right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I fuck with it. Mm. And it's good to see that, you know, not only you come back and get back to your position where you was, but he probably can ascend a little further. But then... You also grown man the shit, you know what I'm saying? Niggas you had beef with, all that shit is squad. Niggas, you know, niggas want to fuck with you now. Niggas don't want to be beefing with you now.
Came out on the other side of adversity.
And you're looking like money and a check.
Yeah.
So, you know what I'm saying? Even the game, hey, he called me.
Right.
I'm like, game, when the last time you put out a record? You always got a beef, but no records.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah, but don't forget about his breakup too. You know what I mean? Like breakups usually break niggas down.
He was in he was fucked up when the shit happened. When he was attacked. Let's just say that, because it was an attack.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it wasn't an attack.
What
it
was
wasn't
an attack,
honestly.
What was an attack?
I was gonna say the back to back record was an attack.
But he attacked Drake.
He threw the first punch and then he didn't realize, oh shit, this nigga's coming back immediately. This nigga ain't letting no time lapse. And my lady and me on the outs, so I'm fucked up emotionally. I probably can't get my bars together, so that might have fucked up a little bit of the momentum. Who knows?
Right. I
forgot they was together.
Yeah, that's because the nigga doing good now.
Right.
You know, I mean, you know.
The other side of adversity.
No doubt.
But I did notice you still don't feel, you still don't seem like you're going to listen to the album.
I am going to listen to it. I just haven't. I have a thing with when it's the hype. You know what I mean?
Okay.
It's hard to sit down and listen to an album objectively when it's the hype. I kind of like to organically catch it and feel it.
Uh-huh.
I see it pop up on my title, but I ain't ready yet.
Okay.
But I did, like I say, I saw the Funk Flex shit.
Uh-huh.
And then I don't want to be disappointed because that shit was hard as fuck. And then I heard a couple of the joints on the radio from the album, and it has that album, this a song energy. But
okay.
the freestyle had that, Yeah.
I'm chilling.
I'm out here fucking niggas up with these words. Energy.
Easy.
Yeah, easy. You know what I'm saying? So I want to let that breathe a little bit before I jump into the album and get into that album energy.
Fair enough.
Because it's like the old Wayne, when he used to do the squad up shits, them shits used to be hard as fuck. And then you get to the album sound like an album. It don't sound like the mixtapes.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, I want to let that breathe a little bit.
I can dig it.
Yeah, he got top. He got two hits in the top 10.
Yeah. He got that one but, you were playing last
year. You didn't even know that hit.
I didn't know that hit. That's why I'm surprised you not fucking, you was radio promo I mean, for me that, last week.
No, because I be driving.
Number one at radio. This nigga said that last week.
But I'm just saying, I be driving my daughter to school, so I be hearing all of whatever the radio shit is.
Did you, because I've seen in the comments, like I said, we always bring it back to whole. First of all, today's
that's,
birthday.
That's you.
Yeah. Shout out, birthday.
But did you hear the whole verse on this album?
Yeah.
Yes, I heard that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That's real grown, man. He laid that's, all the way back yeah. with that. He laid all the way back with the grown man, relaxed.
Wow, conversational.
Yeah, real.
I believe.
Real patient.
Yeah.
That was a patient ass verse.
Yeah.
Whole 49.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, word? I'm surprised they put his shit out then.
I mean, it's been out there. But I mean, I think that's his industry age. But you know,
he might be older than that.
He might be 51.
I think
whole 50.
I thought he was 26 when Reasonable Doubt came out, which was in 96. I thought.
I mean,
I might be. So what's
Hov can't be 50.
He 49. Shit.
He was 30 before niggas was 30. He was 40 before niggas was
so
40.
So he 50 before niggas 50.
He's gonna have to do it.
He gonna be the only 50.
And he's the nigga that he. Did, I tell y'all all the time, this motherfucker's one of the few that waved the flag for getting older.
Yeah,
and
I appreciate older, that.
Yeah,
because he got old gracefully and richfully.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, shit, he's still giving niggas hope.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's a
yeah, I mean, shit. He make me feel good about turning.
I mean, I'm not even tripping because I'm pushing 49. So right. I can't be out here talking.
And like, you living life.
I'm living life. I can't. Yeah. I'm not saying nothing bad about the man age at all.
Okay.
I'm just saying he holding that shit down.
He's taking it to the next.
I wonder if this nigga 59. Y'all
he could be.
I mean, I'm just picturing.
He's 49.
He's definitely 49.
What's Angie Martinez said it today. But we already knew he was, shit, it was 40, 20, to 30, the new 20 back. That was fucking 15 years ago.
That was a while ago.
Shit.
Shout out to me, my birthday tomorrow, too.
Oh, right shit.
After COVID. Oh, well, when this drop, it'll be your birthday.
Yeah, well, happy birthday to me.
Shout that man out, man. Shout out Cuzzo DeVille. Happy birthday to the boy.
Yep.
What you going to do? You in New York?
I got a helicopter.
Doing the helicopter, again?
Again?
No, I'm fucking. Go ahead. You got a helicopter?
No,
for real?
No, I'm going to do the tour.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I ain't getting chartered or no shit like that. I'm just saying.
You got a helicopter. Where you going?
Nah, niggas is just doing a little tour and, you know, a couple little things with family and shit, right, man. And, you know, it's just
fly.
Just fly shit like that. You know what I mean?
Right.
Something I can post up on the gram real quick.
There you go. Some content.
That's what we got. You know what I mean? But it feels good. You know what I mean? Getting old gracefully, like you said.
Yeah, that's the whole point, man.
That's what it's supposed to be. Nigga Hov make you not want to cut a deal with nobody, though. He'll be like, listen, I own all of this. I've been on some shit.
That shit easy to say when you already got a stack of money to the ceiling.
Yeah. We don't really need no help.
Motherfucker needs some help. You can be cutting a deal. Like, hey. Yeah. So what's the numbers we talking?
Yeah, but that shit was tough.
That's like Drake talking about, I don't take percentages. I want the whole thing. Yeah. Like, well, shit, nigga, I'm trying to get in the game. Let me get some of the percents.
That's leverage talk.
You know what I mean?
I like that.
That's when you're on top.
I got a question. I just want to float this past y'all. This is like a case, I guess, you know, talking shit get a little too much traction. Because, you know, sometimes this is a podcast. This is what we sit here.
Right.
We talk some shit. Sometimes we get a little too
too
loose with the words and shit.
No doubt.
But we got an engineer on deck to be like, hey, cut that out because that, I don't need that in the world.
We don't do that too much.
So, now we don't. We keep it 100.
Yeah, I mean, I only remember 2-3 times we did that in 4 years.
Okay, so we keep it a foul-wow. As the
For the most part, y'all get exactly what we said.
Yeah.
And I'm proud of y'all niggas, too, by the way. You know what I mean?
Shit,
the consistency factor.
Yeah, we were.
I mean,
we 200 and that is 6-7 deep.
We out.
Pay attention, kids.
But what's your point?
So, I don't know if you guys saw this shit, but Michael B. Jordan's out here doing Creed press, right?
Okay.
And I guess I forget what interview it was, but I guess he was like, yo, they were like asking about his conditioning, all that. He's been doing his thing. They were like, Are there any fighters that you feel like you could fuck with?
Right.
On this level.
Like, you could whoop?
Pro, yeah, could you? He said.
Anybody you feel like you could whoop, they put them out.
Basically,
there.
The old school, yo, you think you could beat such and such? That's exactly. That's a kid move.
Mm-hmm.
So he got caught slipping. He said, you know, back in Roy Jones's day, he probably would have gave me, he probably would have put me down, but I think at this point point in time in my life, I think I could hold my own in there.
Roy Jones might whip him right now today.
So check it. You know Roy Jones, that shit. Do,
you
shit,
know that shit got to his phone quick.
Nigga, that's all a boxer waiting for is a fight.
That shit got to his phone quick.
That shit wasn't even done out of Michael B. Jordan's mouth.
Nigga, you heard what that nigga said.
It was definitely so they hit him on the camera. They say, Roy, what's poppin'? Now Roy might be 50. Or 49. He's like there. Mm-hmm. Roy Jones. Now, he was a bad motherfucker back in the day. So Roy was like, first of all, I don't ever duck any fights. Mm-hmm. So if they want to have
let's
a fight,
it.
Let's make it happen. Because the nigga, Roy ain't got nothing but upside. Let's be honest. One.
Mm-hmm.
Then he was like, I probably won't knock him out early on. You know what I mean?
He's 49. He's same age as Hov.
He said, I probably won't knock him out early on. I'm going to bring him into the deep water, to the deep rounds, maybe 6-7 rounds. And this is real shit. This nigga's a pro.
Right.
So he could really do this shit
right.
with ease. My question for y'all is, what is Michael B. Jordan's best move? What should you do at this point?
He might as well gracefully bow out.
Duck.
I was just playing, Roy.
You know, I was just kidding.
You don't want none of that. You an actor, dog.
There's not much upside on that.
There's no upside. And this nigga been training for fighting since he was 3-4 years old. And that's a whole different kind of fighting than when you go to the gym, get some muscles, you know what I'm saying, and fight for the camera and shit. That's a whole different level of fighting.
You know Roy gonna make a fucking example out of this. This is y'all must have forgot.
You can't challenge a nigga who make a song that says y'all must have forgot.
Because you know he wanna make you remember, nigga.
All Michael B gotta do, and I just did this about maybe 3 weeks ago. Look up one of them Roy Jones YouTubes.
Oh, yeah.
Motherfucker. They got a YouTube on Roy Jones knockouts by body blows.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Not even, you know what I'm saying? Not Roy Jones knockouts. Just the body blow knockouts.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They got a whole YouTube mixtape.
He's a bad man.
You don't want no parts of that kind of shit. Even at 50, you don't want no parts of that shit.
That should destroy the whole Creed franchise if Creed take an L in the world. You know what I mean? God damn.
That might be part of it.
Niggas like, whoa. Everybody on the phone now.
The thing about it is, you don't never want no street fight with a nigga they call champ.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Yo, champ, don't do it to him, champ. You ever seen that YouTube with an old school cat? He like old school. He got on a suit.
Yeah.
They're like, don't do it to him, champ.
Wink, wink, wink.
Young nigga was fucking with him in front of the store.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what I'm saying? He ready. You know, he all ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
Champ took that whoop, 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 pom, pom, pom.
Yeah.
And it was over.
Like
now you're a YouTube viral sensation in the beginning of YouTube before it was called viral.
They should maybe do something for charity. Maybe, because we want to see something. Nah, don't we? Yeah.
Michael B. don't want to see nothing.
I don't want to see
nothing.
I think
if anything, we could do something on set. We keep this shit controlled.
Yeah, keep it controlled.
But just to see a little something.
But it's going to get too good to a motherfucker. You know what I mean? What's a little something?
Right, Jones.
But he said it, though.
Roy want to let him feel them hands.
Yeah,
he want to let him feel them hands one time just to let him know what a real fighter feel like.
Yeah, you can't just say.
I think if he said it and he put that out there like that, he should welcome whatever. If you know what I mean? He should welcome something. Yeah. A little sparring.
Something.
And just feel them hands. He didn't beg for. You know what I mean? Basically, he should just be able to feel a little bit of it.
You don't want no pause of that shit.
Nah,
man. Y'all drinking this fat Italian, man, because I want another one.
Go ahead, man. Go ahead, brother. Enjoy it, man.
You a guest in here.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Happy birthday, man. There you go. Look at that, man. What you doing for the Christmas season?
For Christmas season, man, you know what? Like I said, I'm a school teacher, man. I got a couple Christmas plays.
Okay.
So I'm directing that, and I got to try to get all that kind of shit situated.
Wait a minute. So you directed school plays.
Yep.
You audition and cut and are you the gatekeeper or you the one that's like, hey,
everything.
Sorry.
Lights, fucking talent, fucking promotion.
Does everyone get involved? Is it, can you say, hey, listen, there's no room on this production for you? Or will you just say, listen, you're not the best actor, but I see you as a good grip. How do you do that? How do you deal with the motherfucking ambition?
Well, first of all, the parents have they have a lot of fucking, they make it a hard, they make it, they have an interesting dynamic to it.
Because their kids got to shine.
You got to kind of, it's like coaching, you know, yeah. Like put my kid in, you right. Know what I'm saying, that kind of thing.
Right.
But I did a good job of getting my cast. I got one more layer of cuts to make. But basically, I try to put it this way. I put it on them, man. Come okay. on, just knock it out the park. If you don't knock it out the park, then you understand you're not getting what you aspiring for. You got to bring the effort to the table.
And what so year they, is this?
These are fifth graders, man.
Okay. All
you know right. what I'm saying? These are fourth, fifth graders. But again, I put it on them, man. You know what I'm saying? You get out what you put in.
Right.
And that's a pretty much the underlying message of all my teachings is, you know what I mean? You get out what you put in. You right. know what I mean? So we've done a good job of pooling the talent, and I think we got a good show.
You got any serious...
Not on the acting tip. Okay. These are some talented kids, uh-huh. but they're more so dancers. Uh-huh. And personalities.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like right. they gonna make you want to see more.
Okay.
And but I don't have the time to groom them. And for right. this particular production, it's basically a bunch of monologues. It's not really like a lot of, you know, back and forth with each other. Mm-hmm. It's just like the real actors of this particular play are just doing some monologues, and then we got like a little classroom group setting type scenes. You know what I mean? So it's pretty cool, but that's what I'm gonna be doing over the holidays, making sure this goes. Because I fundraise. You know what I'm saying? Like nobody really gives me money. You know what I mean? So I had to buy all the new equipment.
Oh, damn.
You know what I mean? Like, I do TV production at the school as well. Mm-hmm. So I got to buy all the new, like, latest and greatest state-of-the-art equipment. So it's a lot. I wear a lot of hats at the school. So that's pretty much going to take up all my December.
Okay.
But, you know, I'm looking forward to the Super Bowl and shit like that. I'm looking past the holidays.
You going to Atlanta for the Super Bowl? Going
Lil Duval is my homie, man. I'm gonna
right. probably right.
I'm hoping to be on the sideline.
Well, I mean, yeah.
You know.
You going you fucking with the Super Bowl?
Yeah, we'll
you
be out, I'll be out there.
Look at this.
We got Kvassier out there.
I might be the last nigga boy.
I'm actually listening.
The only nigga boy.
No, I'm not even talking about I ain't going to no game. I'm saying I'm going out and make some money during the Super Bowl festivities.
Okay.
I got Kvassier we doing content for.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, I'm looking to fill up the other days right. with some more work. So you know, any brands, anybody out there needing content during the Super Bowl weekend on the things that you guys are doing, you know what I'm saying? Holler at your boy because we'll be there. You know what I'm saying? You ain't got to pay to travel because
right.
we'll already be in the market.
Nice.
So if you let Duval know if he needs some, you know what I mean?
You know, BTS.
You know what I mean? It's behind the scenes, some content, some, you know what I mean, original Super Bowl 2019 content at the
he needs that too. I think
at the brand new Mercedes Benz,
yeah,
whatever. Mm. You know what I'm saying? I'm there for that. I ain't going to see the game,
right?
Yeah.
Did y'all see that Oklahoma game though?
No,
Oklahoma
and Texas.
No,
not Oklahoma.
Yeah, no, I'm not. Fuck the Oklahoma game. Right. I was in Oklahoma. That's why I'm asking about that. But I meant the motherfucking Alabama-Georgia.
Alabama-Georgia game, yeah.
Alabama-Georgia
nah,
game.
Georgia.
Georgia lost, right? Yeah, I saw that on the internet. Yeah.
But
yeah.
The dude who won, the quarterback who won the game, he had in the championship game last year.
Got benched.
He got benched mm-hmm. after halftime. And the other cat
in
who,
the last game last year.
The last championship game. So the championship game, he get benched at halftime.
Was he fucking
That's
up?
A big deal. I don't even remember.
Had to be.
So this is, you know, redemption.
He got benched. This is way more than redemption. He got benched during halftime of that game.
Right.
And the cat who took over has been running it this year.
Right.
And so they in the what's this? The playoff game? What's this?
It's
the SEC championship.
Yeah, that was the yep.
So it's the SEC championship, uh-huh. the conference championship.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy who took over for him after he got benched got hurt.
Right.
Fourth quarter.
Damn.
They down 7. It's 11 minutes left.
Yeah.
Cat ain't played the whole season.
Not even off the bench.
Uh-oh.
He come in.
Disney.
He come in. You know what I'm saying? Winning.
Yeah.
Brought him back. Tied it up. Then, you know, next drive. Came down the field. The shit is counting down. This is down to the seconds.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? They on the 16.
He ice cold.
No, he ice cold in the motherfucker. They on the 16. He drilling the passes.
Right.
Completing all these shits. But they on the 16-yard line. Uh-huh. It's probably, what, about 20-something seconds and mm-hmm. shit. This nigga dropped back. Then it's a quarterback draw. The motherfucker ran that bitch in. Mm. Won the game. On
the game.
On the comeback. Because Georgia was dominating that game the whole time.
Mm. Yeah, man. And they choked. I mean, I'm sorry to say that, but that's like that's what you call that. They did it twice, man, to the same team.
It was meant to be for him.
It was,
man.
Alabama?
Yeah, Alabama.
Yeah.
So this cat, you know, he a hero of, you know what I'm saying? He probably go back to the bench after the other cat get well.
Well,
but,
they
know.
Probably both going to the pros right now.
Maybe.
Oh, yeah. Of course. They going to.
Might say, well, fuck yeah, it.
Well, we still got another game to play.
Well, you know the NFL be tripping when you're a black quarterback. So, you know, that's still.
Yeah, they still got some. It's the jury, still the kinda, jury is still out because they still got a game to play. They got to play either, I think they play either Notre Dame or Clemson. Mm. So, or it's another team out there too. That's so out there.
You know, you never know with the quarterback position how that shit play out. You could go, but then you know you don't know how you're gonna get utilized.
Yeah.
Well, Lamar Jackson is killing it right now. For the Ravens, he was a black quarterback.
He's not anymore.
He was a black quarterback that went to the league and he plays quarterback in the league and he's 3-0
and he's popping
as a starter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
There you mm-hmm. go.
My other beer. Oh, here
go enjoy that.
Yeah, man.
What you got? You got anything? What's going on with you, man?
Man, I was in Oklahoma, like I just said, which was weird. I never been to Oklahoma.
They got cactuses like out there.
I mean,
that's what I always think. I think like
they might as well. Nah, but it's just flat. It's dry. Okay. It's Oklahoma. That shit. Okay. And you know, I was out there. You know, when I go to a place that I've never been to,
right?
You try to feel the energy of it,
right?
And you know. The trip shit was that everybody was nice as fuck. Mm. You know what I'm saying? All the black people I came across was very nice. You know what I'm saying? We shot with this family. They was very nice. You know what I'm saying? You think of Oklahoma, you think, you know, there might be some, you know what I'm saying, lynching and shit going on. Mm. But, you know, people was pretty nice, which was weird. But then, you know, I always go look up the history of a spot.
I was about to ask you, wasn't Black Wall Street out there?
Black Wall Street was Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Okay.
I was in Oklahoma City. But, you know what I'm saying, that plays a part in it. Like, Oklahoma was like, you know, the original place where blacks was like, you know what? We gonna go out there because they had, you know, settled out. No, they had settled out this place where, you know, it was like Indian. They called it Indian land. You know
right,
what I'm saying?
Right.
So they was like, you know, that might be the best place for us. Mm. Oklahoma has the most black towns, like, you know what I'm saying, all black towns than any place else in America.
Really?
Yeah, like,
I never knew that.
You know what I'm saying? Not in numbers, but as far as
that stat better.
But you know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, they went out there to create these towns, their own little settlements.
Right.
And yes, Black Wall Street, right. Greenwood area of Tulsa was one of those settlements where, you know, they came together, pooled their own resources, built their own city, and had that shit popping. Mm. You know what I'm saying? That shit all fell apart after the riot or whatever. That's what they call it, a riot. But it was basically an assassination on that community. But it was weird to be there because in the stereotypical thought of Oklahoma is that some white country
like,
boy.
White.
You finna get fucked up.
Right.
But it didn't feel like that.
Interesting.
It's definitely white, definitely trucks, definitely optically looks, you know what I'm saying, very white, and I'm sure there's a lot of racism and all that shit that happens in every other city, but it was just the energy of it felt a little different. That's what made me go kind of do my little research and shit. Mm. But yeah, I was out there, man. It was cool, man, but it definitely ain't a whole lot to do.
Nah.
Oklahoma City, you know what I mean, shit is just flat.
Mm. You know, I've never really ever had any desire to.
I'm sure that's why KD was like, yeah, now what?
Let me get the fuck out.
Let me get the fuck out.
I forgot about that.
You know what I'm saying? Russ still out there, but I'm sure I don't know what a motherfucker would do. You
go shopping.
You're rich. I mean,
look at Russ. That's all he do. Go
shopping well.
Buy new weird shirts.
You know what I'm saying? You probably go shopping back in LA where he's from. But it was like, you know, I don't know what you would do. I guess you build a big ass house and just throw parties at that bitch. I don't know.
I guarantee you, they getting it.
Oh,
they
it's
getting
some shit going on. If niggas could start Black Wall Street, it's definitely some black nightlife that you might not have seen.
No, I didn't see nothing. I'm sure it's some nightlife, but I'm just saying, as far as you being Like most is like NBA nigga is real rich.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Rich. Like the main NBA dude on any team.
The starters.
The starters. The you know what I'm saying? Niggas is multi.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I beg to wonder what it is that a multi cat do in OKC. Right. You know what I'm saying? That's like, I want to, that's some shit that I want to go see. Like, okay, Russ, what is it to do out here? You what know, do y'all do out of this motherfucker?
Yeah, I would want to hear that, cause and I would it would have to kind of really be off the record.
Yeah, probably because right. It's probably a lot of underground, a lot of house parties, a lot of wild shit. But you know, like you know, you in Atlanta, you know, you got a lot of shit. You in Miami, you in LA, you know, even in Oakland, you out in Oakland. There's shit to do.
There's way more. There's a lot of shit to do. That's probably why. When you do find that little undercover OKC shit, that shit is probably so lit because everybody's so fucking grateful.
Yes,
and it, you know what I mean.
But it's like okay, like so, like saying you in these other cities and it offers a large crop of you know what I'm saying of fans, a large crop of pretty you know groupies or whatever. Mm-hmm. I wonder what the groupie situation looked like in OKC. Not groupie, but like the girls who chase after NBA niggas or the girls who the NBA niggas chase after.
They got
I wonder what that. I wonder what. I'm sure they do, but I wonder what that looked like.
Right.
Yeah, I would assume it's just like every other city. You know? There's beautiful bitches everywhere. Like,
it is.
I would assume there's not much.
That's tourism community. Yeah, tourism committee.
I would assume.
Yes, yeah, I would assume too. Especially if they got an NBA team.
Yeah.
Shit.
Come on.
It's definitely.
Because if I, you think about it, the bad bitches who are in LA are like, fuck that, I'm going to Oklahoma.
I doubt
I can still get.
I'm just saying.
If you getting out.
If you in the, I'm sure that, you know, once, because what happens in NBA, you know, one cat lead this team, go to that team. I'm sure he flying them in and all like that. But I'm just saying, like, the local crop.
Right.
I guarantee you some bad.
They probably got a scene. They got a little
I know. I'm sure it is. But I'm just saying, I don't know it. And I didn't see how that even could be. You know, not that it, not
you
that it can't.
In your interview?
Huh?
You ain't asking none of these interviews?
Man, no, hey, man. I'm talking to family.
I know we talking about insurance.
I'm talking insurance to family people, man. It was good but, family people.
Where the hoes at?
Shout out to Miss Frankie.
Oh, man.
What's up, Miss Frankie?
Shout out to Miss Frankie. What's she do?
Miss Frankie is a clergy person.
Okay.
And she's the matriarch of a family that we went and covered for this insurance piece. On long-term insurance, and you know one of her sons faced a situation where it was like a freak thing where his heart stopped, and now you know they thought he was gonna be dead, but he didn't die, and they came together as a family to kind of take care of him,
right?
And he's actually getting better because like you know. Sometimes you get into these things and the doctor tell you that, they're going to be a vegetable.
Right.
But he's not necessarily a vegetable.
Right.
So the family came together, you know what I'm saying? They set up their whole crib like a health facility. Like his parts of the house is, they got all the equipment and shit. They got a motherfucking staff.
Right.
And Miss Frankie is like the mama. She the matriarch. So she, you know what I'm saying? She do all of the medicine shit. She hired a staff. She managed the staff, and then the other daughter, you know what I'm saying, kind of finances the whole thing because she went off and became successful as a lawyer. And they all chipped in as a family to take care of this man after he had this thing. And, you know, and when you're in these kind of situations, and that's the thing with this project, we did like eight different stories of families like this. You get caught up in a situation where you catch a health problem and you need people to take care of you, that's when you really see, you know what I'm saying?
Who's fucking with
what
you.
Kind of motherfucker life and love you got, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because a lot of people can't do it financially, one. Two, ain't nobody got time for it.
Oh, shit.
You know what I'm saying? Mm. Three, like, you know what I'm saying? Like one cat, I mean, you know. It's I can't talk about it. But, but this is what I will say. it makes you look at your life and how you treat people and how you do people a lot differently.
Right.
Because one day, you might need somebody to wipe your ass.
Yeah.
That's
a very real possibility.
You know what I'm saying?
That's the real
shit. And then, you know.
Goodness.
And if you ain't got no motherfucking insurance, and you know what I'm saying, no long-term insurance that could take care of people to come in and take care of your motherfucking ass, you are solely dependent on who is going to. Who
relationships.
Is gonna, your relationships and who is going to motherfucking volunteer for this motherfucking job.
Oh, right. Man.
You know what I'm saying? Who you got in your circle? I know you done, you know, talk to all kind of women. You know what I'm saying? You got girls over here. You got all, you know, you got friends. You got.
Damn.
But who you got that's going to come?
Look at us both looking at
everybody.
You know what I'm saying?
We like, well, I got that motherfucker.
You know what I'm saying?
She might wipe
Are you treating?
Ass.
Are
she
you
going to She might wipe my nuts, but she ain't going for the ass. Let me see.
Are you treating
after some garlic crab? You're like, babe, this is put a glove on.
Are you treating your people in a manner that will have them feel a certain kind of way about your ass?
I hope so.
That they will come, not just wash your ass, but, you know, come through,
care
help,
for you,
help you out. Help you, you know what I'm saying, manage your little bills and shit because you done had a stroke and you can't write. And you know what I'm saying?
You know what, though? At the same point, because this is the other thing. You know, you hope you got that, right?
Right.
And you hope that you also vulnerable and humble enough to say, listen, I need some help. Because there's, but I'm sure, I mean, you've seen more recently than I have, but I'm sure after some shit hit, right? Stroke, whatever. There's got to be a little time when you're still in denial.
Yeah, that's me.
You know what I mean?
I would be totally
you're still
lagging.
Proud. You're still a little. Trying to, you know what I mean?
And that happens. That happens. But when that shit start caking up on your ass,
that's what I was about to say.
And itching
and burning
and break down all your humility. Yeah. Hey, I should have called you 3 days ago, but
this little diaper I'm wearing, it need to be changed.
Shit, heavy than a motherfucker. I need you to come through with a loofah sponge.
You know what I'm saying? So you gotta, when you're young, you don't think about no shit like that.
God,
you know what I'm saying? And the thing about it is. The thing about it is, this is not all old people, man.
Yeah,
you
know what I'm saying? The shit.
That's the trip.
You know what I'm saying? This man in OKC is younger than Hov. You know what I'm saying? Man. So his family, he got good family. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
They there. Right. You know what I mean? I just hope I'm putting in the kind of work that, you know what I'm saying, motherfuckers will come back around and take care of me. When I can't do shit for nobody.
So let me ask you a question. Is that a early conversation you need to have with people at this moment?
It's not a direct.
I need to know where you stand.
Because ain't nobody going to tell
you. Would you bite my ass?
Right.
Because ain't nobody going to tell you
the
truth.
When the shit hit the fan.
Because ain't nobody going to tell you the truth on that. The real shit is, because I've been studying this shit all my life. And for real, it's like, not the, you know, who going to take care of me, but when I was young, I would look at my grandma. My grandma moved to Miami, and she was taken care of. She might have been 50-something. And I would always be wondering, like, you know what I'm saying? Why she ain't got no friends? You know what I'm saying? That was just a question that popped in my head. And then I was, you know, then you start listening, you know. And, you know, at this point, she treated the kids good and all that, but she was always that motherfucker. Everybody know that, you know, little Billy don't play. She, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
She's not stern, but she don't fuck around. You know what I'm saying? She give motherfuckers, she you know, kick ass and take names.
Gotcha.
Like, so, you know what I'm saying? She been kicking ass and taking names all her motherfucking life. Now, you get a little older, you know what I'm saying? You ain't got a whole lot of people that's just rallying around you and shit, because, you know what I'm saying? You been an ass kicker, talking shit up, you know what I'm saying? Motherfucker kiss my motherfucking ass. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
No type puns of, intended.
You know what I'm saying? She don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Shit.
You know what I'm saying? So I just took note of that. You know what I'm saying? It was like, okay, maybe you can't treat people like that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But then, you know, this type of project come across my table at this point in life, and it's like, damn, it get really real because, you know, she never had to, you know what I'm saying, been in a position where she had to have people watching and stuff like that. But, you know, I might be in that position.
Yeah.
And my shit set up, you know what I'm saying? Motherfuckers, not even just the, you know what I'm saying, take care of me like that, but is motherfuckers gonna come check in on a nigga
yeah.
when you ain't got nothing to offer, when you ain't you can't put a nigga on right. and you know what I'm saying, all that shit. Will a motherfucker come just check in on you? Mm-hmm. What's up, you know? Right. Come kick it with you for 30 minutes and have a conversation and bring you a meal or some shit or you yeah. know.
It's safe to say I'm gonna be fucked up. I can't get niggas to reply to my text.
Nah. But you got a bunch of chicks.
Hey, man, this is hey.
I ain't saying currently. No, I'm yeah, just yeah, saying. Yeah, yeah. I'm just saying in general.
I'm just saying.
And the kids, you're inspiring the youth.
Yeah, maybe one of them.
You know what I mean? Hopefully.
Yeah, man. You remember? Yeah.
Fundraising out there, man.
Shit. Maybe, perhaps. But it is something to think about. That is something we don't really think about.
Niggas do not think about that when they bringing the bottles around with the sparklers and shit real. Like that. They
Yeah, niggas all in your VIP. Nigga, when you wipe my ass down.
Right. Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. You all in before my VIP.
Before we toast, before I pop this, I just need to know.
Yeah, I just need to know. What's Wee. Up, man? I'm saying? I feel that. That's a real conversation.
That's the
in the realest. Conversation with yeah. T-Limited.
That is a serious.
Oh, shit.
That's a serious one, man. Oh, shit. Cuzzo, tell the people where you're going to be this week.
Hey, this week, once again, I'm doing a helicopter.
Woo!
Doing a helicopter ride tomorrow for my birthday. I'm out with, y'all, a lot of people don't know this young lady. Her name is Trenisa Stanford. She's like a high executive of Estee Lauder.
Mm.
She has an event that I'm going to be hosting.
When is that?
This is Thursday.
Mm. Okay.
So where is that? In Jersey. Okay. I don't have all the details.
You didn't invite me to that shit.
I know you're pretty busy.
Ooh.
So I was just trying to.
See, that's how niggas do you when you need your ass wiped. I know you was busy.
I knew you had your hands full.
Yeah. No, but she just needed some regular old, you know, just master of ceremonies type thing for a little makeup type event. That's pretty much that's the only thing I have on the books, except for Saturday I do have an event. A young lady I went to college with at FAMU, is her 40th birthday in Brooklyn.
Yeah, I'm gonna miss that. Shit. Sorry, I'm gonna miss that one.
Yeah, so
shout out.
That's that. Wow. And I got my brother coming up his family coming up from Florida. So do some sightseeing.
Okay.
And just, you know, I'm trying to bump into a few old familiar people I ran with back when I was in New York. So just trying to catch up a little bit. And spit these bars for somebody. You know what I mean? Anybody got any? You know what I'm saying? Now, let me stop before you.
I'm about to say.
Yeah.
Man,
whoa. Let me chill.
Fuck, this would be a first.
If you had a beat, though.
We could get a beat. This would be a first on the motherfucking ITC, but we make it happen. I'll get you an Alchemist beat.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty much it. You know what I'm saying? I'm just trying to make, you know, reestablish myself in New York and, you know, set up some work where I can come back and see my nigga. I ain't seen my nigga in years.
Yeah, man, it's been a minute, man. It's good to see you. It's good to be seen, too.
Mm-hmm.
Muhammad, tell the people where you going to be.
Man, I'm going to be back in the promised land, Miami, Florida this weekend. You know what I'm saying? Hometown for Art Basel.
Man,
we got a couple of things out there we doing as far as content. Then I'll be right the fuck back in New York.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And then we'll be back on this mic. So you can catch me on the gram at Mr. Muhammad, on Twitter at Mr. Muhammad, and at In The Conversation all the motherfucking time.
That's what's up. Shit. Where am I at? I'm at Gotham this Thursday. I'm doing a virtual reality show. That should be interesting. I'm at Eastville on Friday, at Stand Up New York on Saturday. And then, shit, I'll be back here on a good Tuesday or a good Wednesday to chop it up with y'all. And until next time, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even in.
To get in the conversation.
Yeah.
And the main thing of it all is to be in the conversation.